Off the Ball. GAA.
Cork were nearly too honest. They were doing their best to play the game. Kill the game. Take off their helmet. The ref has to stop the game. Like, do something.
No, it is. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Jesus,
well,
Christ.
You're both dressed like pints of Guinness, so you may as well have one with you.
Why not?
Love football.
Can I take a loan of that thing?
Hi folks, how are you all doing? You're very welcome along to the Football Pod Live with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. How are you all? You good? We kind of do a bit of a test at the start of the show. These tickets went on sale around the quarterfinal, so I'd just like to figure out who was expecting to be here this weekend. Is there many people from Meath here? You're all legends. We're back.
You got way too excited after beating Kerry. Way too fucking excited. You were listening to that gobshite. I know.
Lads, we'll put a good winter down and we'll be back. Boys, take a seat.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
It's been a big season for Gaelic football. It's been massive. You boys have been very busy this year.
Very busy, T. Very busy.
A lot of work. A lot of things going on in life as well at home and.
Couple of babies. Yeah.
Babies are
a disaster.
It's a change, like, isn't
it? They're an absolute fucking nightmare.
It's not the same weekend this weekend as it was. Best thing about life at the moment for me is a good baby's burp and a shitty nappy. It's like whoa. You did really well there. Shitty nappy.
Welcome to the club, Jimmy. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Well, I hope you can all hear us down there at the back. It's great to see you all. I'd love to know, is there many Kerry people here?
Oh,
I'm in trouble. I think we've fallen out. I'm sorry about that, lads. I didn't mean it. And surely, there's loads of Donegal people here as well.
Yeah! No Dublin jerseys there, no. As a few dubs. We'll be back. 20 years. Give us 20 years.
The three boys are in again.
Mayo. Oh, no.
Don't mention the war. Hang on.
There is this idea that I hate Mayo. I love Mayo.
Well, some of the greatest days of your life have been against Mayo, haven't they?
Sure. I can't log into Twitter without someone from Mayo fucking destroying me under. It's actually...
Yeah, James can't help it, though. If James gets a bit of abuse, he'll click on your profile, he'll see what you're up to, and he'll give it back to you. Some fella this week gave him a bit of stick. Pretty innocent, I thought. He just said you'd need a Disprin after listening to O'Donoghue. He'd give you a headache. And James got back and just said, stick to the Wordle, pal.
Yes, Jimmy. Cut him down. Love it.
Yeah. We're here, as always, with thanks to AIB. The team in AIB keep us on the road to keep the pod going. And I'm not sure how many people in the audience have tickets for Sunday. Do many of you have tickets for Sunday?
The lucky ones.
Are many of you looking for tickets for Sunday?
Check under your seats right now.
No, we have to change that up. When you were coming in the door, some of the production team and Off the Ball would have given you out raffle tickets, so we're going to call out a couple of numbers later on. And last year, it got a bit dicey. Last year nearly turned into an episode of Cilla Black, like Blind Dates and Love Island. Do you remember we had a Mayo lady and a Galway man?
Yes.
And they were both fighting for the tickets. And we gave them the option that they could split it, they could take one each. And the lassie from Mayo wasn't happy, she wanted the two, and your man from Galway ended up winning the two of them. But that was all they won that weekend, so we'll leave it at that. But This time, the lucky folk who are called up here, so somebody's going to get lucky tonight, whoever's called up here, you have a decision to make. I'm going to put a microphone in front of you, and you've got to choose your competitor for a secret challenge that the boys don't know what's happening, and I can't wait to stitch them up on this.
You're going to have a decision to make earlier. For
your All-Ireland final tickets. Who's going to represent you, James or Paddy? And we'll reveal all that later on.
Like a physical contest?
It's a sporting contest, so you're in trouble.
Go with Jimmy.
Arm wrestling.
I can hardly get on the stage here, never mind do a physical contest.
So look, we've got two very, very special guests tonight. To be honest with you, when we put the show on, we had a plan in place if Meade got to the All-Ireland final. We had a plan in place in case Tyrone got there. And we had a plan in place in case Kerry and Donegal got there. And we're so thrilled to have Mark McHugh and Kieran Donaghy down the road. So we really appreciate it. So put your hands together for the boys. They're not coming yet. They're not coming yet. But they'll be up here in a couple of minutes' time. And we're going to have a great show this evening. Lads, we've done very well. We've kept this podcast together for 5 years now and counting.
Four for Jimmy.
We're still getting
on. He's a blow-in. Like,
one bad year. Four great years.
Yeah, and a lot of people wonder, like, how do you keep it going? And I think it's how well we get on with each other, isn't it?
Part of it, I'd say, yeah, maybe.
To be honest, you piss me off fucking most days, so I don't know.
Paddy, I have a bone to pick with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the innocent one here. Like, you two lads were going at each other all summer. Like,
You've about six jobs, right?
I do,
about four
yeah.
different companies. And now you've started taking up all the bloody GA gigs at the weekend. You were doing a bloody hurling punditry last Sunday. What's this about?
Paid by the word, as Mickey Conroy said.
Can you name the four legends alongside you there up on stage?
It's Christy Ring, I think, is one of them. Oh, man, I must be honest there. I was treading water for the hurling gig now, I have to say. I was there. Nicky English is one of them. He played with Tip.
Yeah.
They won it. And
he rang me Saturday morning. He goes, T, give me something on the rock. What can I ask the rock?
I know fuck all about hurling, like, but to do this gig, anyway, so I'm sitting there with the Rock O'Sullivan and Nicky English beside me, and they smelled the rat straight away, like, I have to say. I was there with Nicky English, like, Nicky, how are Tip going to defend that two-point arc? And he's looking at me like, who is this asshole asking me this question? So I feel like I'm a bit more on solid ground this week. I know the rules of Gaelic football.
Yeah, yeah.
I have seen both of these teams play. And it was a big shock. Tip winning, by all accounts.
Yeah, well, listen.
Yeah, fair play to them.
We know you're a football man. You became the king of the Talton Cup this summer.
I'm a big fan of the Talton Cup. Now, don't you be start coming at me with this, T. You have thrown your arse at the football coverage all year. Is that fair
to
say?
I agree.
No.
Any listeners to the show?
If it's not Mead,
he's not interested. If Trevor Giles is not mentioned, he doesn't want to know about it.
We were meant to be on
Monday, and we were late because Tommy was chasing fucking Charlene Maudsley around Turles. Tommy wanted to race Charlene Maudsley down by Lara Corbett's pub.
I managed to
so when he comes in onto, and don't talk to me about the Talton Cup. Me and Jimmy are doing our bit for the game, promoting the Talton Cup, and Tommy's like, who's playing at the weekend? The usual shit.
Yeah, not a clue.
It was disgrace.
Paddy got on his high horse because we do predictions on the pod. We actually had to quit them because they were so bad. Paddy ended up pulling Wicklow to beat Westmeath out of the hat. That was very impressive.
Wicklow, the Garden County. Garden County. Very
Paddy,
good.
Limerick are in the Talton Cup final. Okay, let's do a Talton Cup quiz. Limerick are in the Talton Cup final.
Oh, he's on his high horse now. Like.
Yeah, he is.
Name a Limerick player.
I'm not getting into it, mind you.
Paddy.
Declan Hannan.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right. Okay, the hurling.
Aaron Gillan, Declan Gannon. I can do this all night.
Okay.
But Tommy, you know, it's nice of you to join us back for the football now that it's a big week. The football final is on.
Hey.
It is. But do you know what? He has been a pain in the hole for the last 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're back.
He's lost by 150 points in the semi-final. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
but he's gotten under my skin. First of all, and you lost a lot of fans in Kerry this year.
I think he did. I think that's
You left yourself down. Right? Every single chance you got, you were jabbing Kerry, jabbing Kerry. Then, right?
Hey,
that was one thing.
I have a question for you.
No.
Why do you feel so sorry for yourselves? Poor Kerry. Take a bit of a ribbon. That's all it was. Bit of slagging.
Huh?
Did you put your best foot forward against Meath and Tullamore?
Did what?
Did you put your best foot forward against Meath?
Lads, we can all shoot off and let the two lads go for half an hour here.
Tommy,
this is what every Monday night is like.
You got a record defeat in the semi-final. Record.
Look, we'll be back. We'll be back.
Then, not only do you hate Kerry, secondly, you stitched me up with McGuinness. Bad.
What do you mean?
That was nasty.
What do you mean?
Because I tentatively said that playing against a McGuinness team was challenging.
No, and you put it on public record that you wanted to retire in between the semi-final and the final.
He talks over you.
He's a journalist, not to be trusted.
it was a little bit tough playing against McGuinness's teams, and we were all fed up of it by the time we played the 2014 final. And then you went to McGuinness and you said, all the Kerry players said they were going to retire with the way they had to play.
Like, such a good impression of them.
Like, that is just bad form. And then, that's fine, that's two strikes. And then the third thing, and probably the biggest dagger to me personally.
What?
You stole my Monday minute.
Hey, AIB crew are here in the front. You have a lot to answer for, you lad.
I thought...
Disgrace.
Do you know what it was like?
Your baby.
It was like
going out for
a pint with a friend, and you go to the toilet, and you come back, and he's drank your pint. That's how I felt. I was like, you drank my fucking pint, of all people. So, like, I there's actually a video there somewhere else. Can you play the video? Hey, because Tommy thinks that doing this is the easiest thing ever, right? Look, let's just see Tommy have a go at this.
Take 187.
Fuckity fuck fuck.
God, the close-up was not favours there.
It tastes hard. Doing it to camera is not natural. It's difficult. Like.
Same funny. Thing. He only did it on a Wednesday. The Wednesday waffle. Yeah. It was 2 days late as usual. No, like.
The Rooney Ramble, the Wednesday waffle. But you think, right, that he just had one go at that. There's also a picture of his camera roll. Just if you don't mind showing the... Can I just say, right, that takes me one take, one and done.
Yeah, one and done.
Tommy's there for about 2 days, fucking rambling on.
That's why it was Wednesday, yeah.
Okay, all right. We're very close to getting our special guest out for the night and for you to win your All-Ireland final. Well done, James. Well played. Yeah, you've been waiting to get me back. I will let you behind the curtain one more time. When the semi-finals were finished, James was so excited because Donegal Kerry is so special to James O'Donoghue. The 2014 All-Ireland final, James's greatest day. I like to call it the James O'Donoghue final because he didn't touch the ball for about 25 minutes in the game. He got outscored by Neil McGee.
Good player.
Our special guest tonight, Donoghue, steals the show and then he does this. Look at this dive. Now watch the last lines, man. Look at this. Get up. This is his biggest contribution in 2015. Look.
Yeah, that was assault right there, right? That's what happened to my shoulder.
71st minute of the game, James. But to be fair, you held on. You got the job done. The celebrations afterwards, some of the photos are incredible. You enjoyed that one, didn't you?
I did. Well, it was my only win, unfortunately.
It doesn't matter how you win it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you stooped to what you stooped. Anyone remember Barry John Keane?
Hang on.
Fall off the tee?
Are we going here again now, your anti-Kerry narrative? You can't even find the joy in an All-Ireland winner.
No. I'm sorry. Am I being too harsh? It is so. It's such a special moment to you.
It is a special moment, but I agree. It was a tough... how to spend it. It was a tough month. Like before that, like it was a month or 3 weeks to the final. Like we had maybe a replay, so it was 3 weeks to the final. But like we had to completely uproot tactically. So it was kind of a change. But like at the same time, it's still so exciting being involved in the final.
It's incredible, and this Sunday is going to be unbelievable. Paddy, like watching back, that final was absolute torture. But the semi-finals in 2014.
Is that because Kerry won?
No. No.
It is, man. You want to get over this game.
The semi-finals in 2014 were epic. Dublin, you come out the wrong side of the...
Don't remember that one.
Game. Yeah. No. And the Kerry Limerick game. Did you watch the 2014 All-Ireland final?
I was doing another gig that day, I must admit. I did. I was with Killian O'Connor.
That must have been the most depressing gig of all time. It was All-Ireland final day.
Unbelievable. Because we were straight from Copperface Jacks. Hadn't been to sleep and arrived to do a PwC gig. Are we allowed to say PwC?
Yeah, you're working with
it. PwC gig down the Players' Lounge at lunchtime, and myself and Killian were being propped up. So I don't remember much of the match. You won it in the end, did you?
We won it.
We did. Okay. So we had a great day. Thank God I didn't see the match because it was one of the worst finals of all time.
It was not. I
can hear it.
It was a tactical
masterclass.
Once the purists, as you say, Jimmy.
I can hear a little Donegal voice in my ear, and I can spot a 6'9" shadow standing in the walls there. So let's get our special guests, Kieran Donaghy and Mark McHugh, out. Mark.
The Chief.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're from the... You genuinely didn't change.
I got another one. How are you? Fair play, Chuck.
Lad, I swear to God, lads. I thought you were going to change before you came on. Like,
I'll find your collar now there, Father Andrews, and we'll talk to you up there now. Get a white collar on him.
We'd liven up the stage. We bet it was all black up here.
Jesus. Yeah, fucking Johnny Cash, lovebird.
Kieran, how are you?
Good, Tammy, how are you?
Yeah, you got down the road okay?
Got down the road, just grand.
Yeah, I rang Kieran. I texted Kieran earlier on. I was like, "What's the story? What's your ETA?" And he said, "We're not coming." He knew my heart rate would go to the roof, but we're okay. We got here. Mark McHugh, how's it going?
I'm good.
Thanks so much. It's a long trip from Kilcare.
It was actually a longer trip from Spain.
There you go.
I flew back in this morning just for the pod, by the way.
I really appreciate it.
No, no bother at all. Yeah. Like, anything for you, Tom.
Was that a tough listen, myself, James, and Paddy up here for the last 10 minutes? I'd say it's not easy being inter-county coaches listening to us boys during the year. Because I know, Kieran, sometimes on that long spin up to Armagh, you might have had us on in the car.
Yeah, we would listen, G, for the crack. to be honest, myself and Mark were having in-depth talk outside. We weren't really listening to you, to be honest. I hope they were good, ladies and gentlemen. I hope they were good.
Well, the setup there was the James O'Donoghue final in 2014. But realistically speaking, it started off as the Paul Gainey final, because Gainey got the mismatch on Paddy McGrath and he gets the goal. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up being the Kieran Donaghy final. Kieran obviously scored one of the most famous goals in Croke Park in the last 11 years. But that's not what I want to bring you here. I have a bit of footage. It's actually unseen footage. I contacted a couple of friends in the Sky to get a look at this. It's just after Michael Murphy has put Kerry or Donegal ahead for the first time in the game. And this is a key moment. The two McGees and Kieran Donaghy having a bit of a standoff in the middle of the field. McGee's, Kieran's looking after Kieran Neil, Donaghy, who was marking James that day. Long enough.
Well. Kieran Donaghy.
Kieran, what's going on in that moment? Can you fill us in on what you said?
As the great Massey Lyons once said, a small bit of off the ball stuff, Jack. no, it was Mick Murphy. I had shouldered Neil McGee near the sideline, but he did a bit of a name hour out over the sideline. And then got up and asked the linesman to have a closer look at it, and I wasn't too happy about it. And then, of course, he'd a brother. Like, no, if I'd my brother Conor Donaghy there, I tell you one thing, there'd have been some furniture moving around there, I can tell you.
You know, the worst thing about him, right? Generally, forwards never mouth or get involved in that stuff. It's always the cornerbacks.
Hang on, you haven't met Kieran Donaghy, Paddy.
And then we played against him. He's the only forward in the history of GAA who causes arousaling. Nah. We played a match. Remember, it was a league game up in Killarney. There was snowing at the time. It was like, I'm fucking, don't get me out on that pitch. And Donaghy caused a 30-man brawl. He was going after everyone. Like, you're a full forward. Like, what are you getting involved in that for? He absolutely held to play against. Like,
the McGee's would have marked the 3 years at different stages. And could you even understand them? Because I'm from Donegal and I can't understand them. So roaring away. Is that what you're doing there, Donnie? Yeah. Just roaring away.
The only thing I ever understood from Neil McGee is we were in Australia after the compromise rules first test. We were in Melbourne sitting down in a kind of underneath a bridge in a kind of real quiet bar, having a few quiet pints.
Yeah, then 11 o'clock in the morning. Right.
And Neil McGee landed on and went up to the bar and came down with a tray of tequila. Like, it's going to be a long fucking day from here.
What did he say?
Tequila. We'll come back to 2014 a little later. And 2012, Mark McHugh, 2012 was a pretty special year in your life, getting the job done with Donegal.
It was.
And we'll be talking about that later, because that was the second year of Jim McGuinness. He'd been in with the seniors the year beforehand. We know what happened. Fell short in a semi-final?
In 11.
In 11?
Yeah, it was a great game of football. Great game of football.
We were talking about a few of them this week. So that's 11, semi-final, 12 to get the job done. McGuinness comes back for 24 to get to a semi-final. Yeah. 25 back in the final, so they have an opportunity to get the job done. Scotty Scheffler was talking about inevitability, or Rory McIlroy was talking about inevitability with Scotty Scheffler. with Jack winning a league and Jim coming into a second year, there's a little bit of this kind of, there's two pishogues at play here. Which one is going to come to fruition this weekend? So it's going to be very interesting getting to that.
Well, I think Donegal would have won the league.
Do you?
I think
Kerry won the league almost by default, Paddy, because Donegal were romping it, and then obviously the whole Ulster Championship came into play, and Donegal turned their arse to it. So,
Is that
like,
fair?
I know what you're saying about that.
Who won the league?
Huh? Kerry,
Big Mayo.
Oh, okay. Against who?
Mayo.
They're a fucking pub team, like. Jesus Christ, like.
Yeah.
Sorry. Are they not? Yeah. Okay, go on.
Mayo clip, always get it. That's
Tommy, clip that, right? To take the heat off me for a little bit, please. Yeah. Just clip that. Thank you.
I think what Donegal did has obviously come to fruition, and it was the right call, because they're going in tomorrow or on Sunday with absolutely no injuries. Mm. You know, and if you have a team, you know, Kerry probably have a few, or they're trying to nurse a few anyway, that we believe.
Poor Kerry,
feel sorry. But listen, if they go out and won it on Sunday, it's definitely the right call.
It is so
impressive. I'm not saying nobody remembers leagues. Well, Paddy definitely doesn't, but people remember what happened on Sunday.
The fact that they have no... And you two boys were coaching this year at intercounty level under the new rules, and all. We're not going to get into all of that today, but you got first-hand experience of, I suppose, how the game has changed. Also, the madness of the season, how tight it is.
Yeah.
Like, Kerry do have a lot of injuries. Like, they're probably... Their A midfield is out. Mm-hmm. We don't know, is Gainey back? Is Tom Sullivan back? There's a couple of others that are... could be there that aren't. But Donegal, it's so impressive that Donegal have kept everyone ready to go. And sure, they started training last August in Dubai.
December 9th, I think they all started training.
But it is impressive. It is impressive.
It is, you have to hand it to them, you know. But I think it's the condition that he gets in on them off-season, that the real hell training that, you know, it's known for. And honestly, he was up speaking there last week. We were at an event up, a breakfast morning up in Donegal, and we were at it, and I could have nearly went up and strangled him, because he was on up and he says, it's all very scientific now, and we do 90 minutes and no more, and we do 45 minutes on Thursday and no more. And I'm like, Jim, for fuck's sake, hey, I remember the fucking 3-hour session, say, I went to speak him after. We were running around golf courses and sand dunes and stuff like that about Donegal. Hey, you're on with Ross Appenna, we were running there, man.
Yeah, well, he said the same thing in the press conference, and I don't think he realised it, but Paddy McBurty was sitting beside him, and he said the exact same, and McBurty was looking up like, what are you talking about? We're still doing it. But no, they are, and it's impressive that they had them all together.
Yeah.
Kieran, you made a big call in the last week or two. After an unbelievable 5 years with Armagh, you got the job done with the All-Ireland, an unbelievable journey with the group. You decided to call it a day on your time with them, and you went out with a bang. I don't know if everyone else knows, but you had a little shindig down in Tralee during the week.
We did, yeah, about 70 people inside my house.
But I think that shows you how close you got with all the Armagh folk.
Ah, yeah, no, they're great lads, brilliant lads. I must say they were a pleasure to coach, and good friendship and bonds obviously built up over 5 years. And no, we went out with a bang for sure on Saturday night in Tralee. I think the last fella left the house maybe 5 to 6 in the morning. My cousin Mark O'Connor was doing taxi from about 3:10 to 6:00, so he ferried everyone home.
That's class.
It was a great night.
You had a couple of Kerry legends there as well. Not just, I wish I had video footage of this, I don't, but the Bomber was there.
The Bomber was there, yeah. Obviously, a selector with Kieran McGeaney on 2 tours in Australia.
Was it?
Yeah, when the tour, when I said that everyone was coming down on Saturday, I rang Bomber, I goes, Geezer would like you there. And as a real full forward, he always showed up, you know.
Yeah. He's some man. Yeah, he's got a party piece. You're going to play your party piece for us at the end of the show, but the Bomber party piece is...
Hallelujah.
And he's unbelievable at it.
Oh.
Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
I think he said it in the 7-1st. We were next to him and he started singing Hallelujah, and then the 7-1st he goes, I think they have it, Star. I think they have it. And by God, did they have it at that stage, I must say. But no, brilliant. Brilliant so track.
Them all coming down the road, we see the connection he have. Obviously, winning an All-Ireland bonds a team and a group together. But outside of that, can you just give us a little bit about what kept you going back to Armagh and what that was like being with them? And 5 years is a big stint. Like
the mileage, stint, I think, Tommy, was it? What? Was it the mileage, was it?
You actually couldn't pay a fella enough to drive up and down to Armagh and leave training Tuesday night at 10 o'clock after a management meeting that's dragged on a bit and you're hitting Tralee at about 2:15 in the morning. But no... went up there, obviously, it was kind of like a year one thing to try and work on the forward play. And obviously it turned into something much bigger than that. And when you get in with a group and you see what way they're applying themselves, what way they're training, how hard they're going at it, you know, there's an automatic bond that happens there between, I think, players and management, and seeing those lads and what they put into it. And obviously as it was going on, it was more hardship and hardship and hardship and
heartbreak,
penalties and more of that.
Did you ever show them how to take a penalty? Because you nailed one for Stacks, didn't you, down in the... That was on TV, wasn't it, in one of the championship finals?
That was...
Did you ever put the ball down and say, lads, this is what you do?
Well, Wayne Quinlan is down there, our Stacks manager, the current Kerry Minor manager, and he told me, he said, I'm putting you fifth. And I said, right, okay, why? And he goes, I just think you'll score. I goes, Wayne, you have no idea. I'm not a penalty taker. But... No, the penalties are fucking lottery.
Yeah. We were chatting, we played a bit of golf down in Tralee a couple of years ago, and I was asking you about, it's a big trek, obviously, and why would you leave Kerry, kind of football side of things. Like, what was the initial thing? And McGeaney's a legend, obviously, but that was a big news at the time for Kieran Donaghy, this Kerry player legend, to go and take this job with fucking miles away. Like, what was the appeal initially?
Initially, of course, it was Geezer. Yeah, I had him on tours in Australia, and I didn't come across anybody like him before. So I was kind of going, if this fella's asking me to come up and be a coach, it'll be a great learning opportunity for me to work alongside him and see from what I saw as a player on them tours. And it's only like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, a couple.
You know what I mean? It's.
But did you, Kieran, Nancy, did you think, right, this is going to develop me as a coach, or did you think we're going to win Sam? Was it both? Because at the time, Armagh, honestly, no, weren't contenders. They weren't contenders almost until halfway through the year you won it.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
In the eyes of maybe everyone else.
Yeah, but I would see the Galway quarter final where we lost in penalties, didn't play great, but still got the penalties and lost. And then in that final, you know, they ran Kerry close, so I was kind of going, no, they're there. But no, it was very much a learning thing. But I did say, you know, to the boys in my first meeting, because I watched like 20 games before I obviously made the decision to get involved, because Kieran was like, I want you to watch the games and see what you think.
Watching the games. Like.
But I did feel that there was something within the group with the core group of players. Yeah. You know, you have the Grugans, the Reen O'Neills, the Niall Grimleys, Aidan Fawkers. You see these kind of players, Aaron McKay at fullback. You kind of go, there's a good nucleus there. They're good lads. And then when you get in with them, you see how hard they train, how hard they apply themselves, the kind of bond they have together. Especially through the disappointment, you know, because there was heartbreak, of course, along the way. Ulster final penalties, Donegal, Derry.
Yeah, Donegal again.
1 point losses, you know, penalty shootouts in Croke Park outside the door there. You saw that kind of heartbreak going on, and you still saw them 2 days later be kind of going, okay, let's go again.
But Kieran, that's something I wanted to ask you actually, because he had penalty shootout defeats, right? Ulster final defeats. And I'm thinking, sometimes a management team can only pick up a group of players once or twice. Mm. I mean, before they kind of go, oh, like, I don't know, can I face this again? Like, how did you honestly pick the lads up every single time after penalty shootout defeats? Also final point. Defeats.
Galway, Monaghan.
Yeah.
You're talking your dream ripped out of you on penalties.
Penalties, yeah.
Like, it's easy for fellas then to go, fuck it, you know.
No, it is. It is.
How would you pick them up then?
That would be the easy route.
How would
route.
You come back the second time and say the right thing?
And the third and fourth and fifth, yeah. No, it is the easy thing to say, that kind of reaction, and that's the way you obviously would feel straight afterwards, but that's probably the mark of Kieran as a manager and the core group of players, the leadership group within the players that are kind of going, there was actually very little for us to do. They were the ones that were kind of going, no, we still believe we can do this, and... Mm. Let's tweak this, tweak that. Let's go again, go harder. And you know, when you have a group of players like that, you're kind of, it's easy enough to coach after that.
Yeah, it sounds like that group itself and the journey they were on. It was probably addictive to be a part of it. So my big question is, which of the vacant managerial jobs that have come up in the last 3 weeks have taken you over the edge?
The Dubs, Dublin manager. Yeah.
Paddy, head coach. I star as the assistant for the Doves.
Yeah, yeah, you'll enjoy
Mark
that.
Media.
Like, that'd be some crack, wouldn't it?
No, listen.
We'll figure something out, I'm sure. Like,
I think when we're actually previewing the game later on, we might get dig a bit more into the Armagh story and what you picked up along the way. Mark, you started your coaching journey incredibly early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you're 28, you're 29, I think, when you get in with the Fermanagh Miners in the 20s. You're with the Donegal Ladies. Then, if I'm right here, you're in with Roscommon, with Davy Burke. You're in with Mike Cullen and Galway. And now you've been working with Westmead. I met Mark McHugh earlier this year. You weren't talking to me at the time because Mead had just beaten you by a last-minute goal. And Mark ran out with the laptop to show that it was after the Hooter. You were going absolutely nuts. Do you remember that in the press box afterwards?
It wasn't the Hooter I was annoyed at. It was a foul about maybe 2 minutes later when the referee had the hand up.
Yeah.
And then he decided to take the hand down for whatever reason, and we should have won the game by 2 points.
But that was the story of Westmead's season. Every game you were beaten by a point or beaten by the Hooter or beaten. Was it tough again?
Oh, that season? Listen, it's no more than Kieran's after saying you're trying to say the right things. The difference in them, to be fair, they're losing in penalties. We were actually losing the matches, so it was actually harder to get them back up. But, you know, we went in there and there was a lot of a turnover of players at the start of the year. So we try to be as competitive as we can. Yes, we should have won games. We were lucky maybe in positions in other times. And it was a lot of heartbreak, to be fair. But, you know, if it happens once or twice, maybe you have to say it's unlucky. If it happens a lot of times, then maybe you have to just look at something that you're not doing right. So we hopefully have to dust ourselves down and try to get better for next year, you know.
Yeah. Cavan's Dermot McCabe has been linked with the Cavan job.
Yeah.
The Westmead manager.
Yeah, he is.
So which job are you? I know Kieran's going for the Dubs. So who are you going for? Are you staying with Westmead?
Well, right now I'm fully committed to Westmead. I'm not sure about Dermot, but listen, I think he's away on holidays for a few days, and
he's been nominated by a club. Like
he
that,
is,
that's
yeah.
The way
and listen, it's a great honour to be nominated for your home job, and he's a decision to make. So best luck to him. He's a big boy; he can make it himself.
There's going to be a lot of this.
Cancer.
I've been rehearsing that all
day. That's RT stuff. That's RT stuff,
Paddy.
Mark, you can trust Tommy's questions here. Like he will hang you out to dry.
I know he would. Yeah.
Just be very, very careful with every single answer because Tommy's just waiting like to hang you like he did with me. And
yeah, he's all right.
I'd love to get the live odds for the Dublin manager gig. Paddy was 16-1 a couple of weeks ago. I don't know where he is.
He's gone out a little bit.
Yeah.
He's drifting.
Just beneath.
What's going on there? Like.
Yeah.
There's some jobs up though, isn't there?
You were in early, right, as a coach. So naturally, I'm going to ask you, has Jim shaped you as a coach? Like, have you taken a lot from him? Because... you know, he would have been your under 21 coach.
He was, yeah.
Would have been for a lot of your career, you know, and then you've a couple of other coaches along the way as well, but he probably would have been a formative coach of yours.
He was, and a lot of the coaching I probably do at the moment is a lot based on him, and, you know, even Rory Gallagher would have been a lot of our coaching back in the day as well, the two of them together. So a lot of the coaching I would do is solely based on that. It's the intensity, it's the commitment. Now, I would have loved to, you know, you're on about, you know, learning your trade as a coach. I would love to have a video of every meeting and team meeting we had when we were that age, just the level of I don't know, what do you want to say,
but want.
It's pure psychology that he can get through to you, Jim McGuinness. It's crazy, like, you know.
How does he make you all believe? Because you, like, Donegal fans here tonight, they've believed all year long that this Sam Maguire.
Yeah,
it's run at it. They're going to be here on Sunday. They're going to have a chance.
Yeah, well, the big story. Remember when Jim took over first was the big meeting in Downings. You know, looking out over Ross O'Penna and him asking that question.
Harbour
Bar.
Yeah, Harbour Bar.
Yeah, and asking that question. You know, to the group. You know, do you believe you're going to win the line? And I remember two people put up their hands, like Michael Murphy and Carol Lacey.
Really?
Yeah, and. That was at the start of the meeting, and by the end of the meeting, he asked the same question, and everybody put up their hands.
Wow.
And I don't know how he does that. Like, you know, I'll tell you a funny one. You know, his mantra, the commit, focus, believe, and then you'll achieve, was his mantra back in 2012. And I had a wee cousin at the time. He was only about maybe 6 or 7, and he was infatuated with Jim McGuinness. Everything was Jim McGuinness. And he was on the Brendan McCarroll show, on RT, and he was saying these four words, and that was all these four words that this wee lad was thinking about. And anyway, his grandmother was taking him down to Mass, and she couldn't park at the chapel at all, hey, you know, because it was a steep hill, so she parked down the main street. But there was a bit of flat up there, and she said, "Granny, why don't you park up at the chapel?" And he says, "I just can't, and I'm not a great driver." "Now, Granny, if you commit, if you commit, and you believe in yourself, you're focused in it, you'll be able to park up at the chapel. And that's just the effect they had on an eight-year-old kid at the time. And we, every single meeting we went to, it was just engraved in your head. And that's why, no matter what, I never, ever bet against the Jim McGuinness Donegal team. You know, like even coming up to the Galway game last year, I was fully believed they're going to win, and I'm fully believed they're going to win this weekend because I just know when he's in the middle of a huddle chatting to them, there's nothing else. There's no other show in town, and you know they're going to win, and it's such a great feeling.
The lads are rolling their eyes.
Yeah,
here.
I know. I'm sorry, James.
Mark. Honestly, that's why I am worried. Like I think that if I ever try and transport myself into Donegal's dressing room, I know for a fact.
You kicked too much ball, though.
Every single one of those fellas would fucking die before they'd lose this All-Ireland.
Was that the same in Kerry?
But under the new rules, the argument is, under the new rules, 15 of those fellas want to attack the ball. Three of them are left up, right? So now you're left down to 11 defenders and the goalie. That's why I think, at times, you can get at Donegal. Like, if this was McGuinness under the old rules, I honestly would be saying, Donegal favourites. But just because it's just a different rule system, more space, that's why I'm thinking the Kerry have a better chance. But, like, I think you're right. The way that McGuinness gets into these Donegal fellas' heads, and in a good way, and makes them believe and makes them urgently want to do it, it's so powerful.
Is that his biggest strength?
Yeah.
The outside looking in, okay, tactics-wise, and you know this there, but you guys are coaching. It seems like looking in, and a couple of chats with Murph in the last couple of years when he's been out, what everybody's doing on the pitch, the connection he seems to have with the supporters, with playing and representing Donegal and the players, it seems like it means a lot to all of us, but it means more up there.
Yeah,
and that's probably more valuable alone than whatever tactical genius he's implementing.
He's an almighty love for Donegal.
Yeah,
you know, and you're probably right. We're a wee bit different up there. You know, we feel a bit left out from time to time, but like, you know, listen, when you're playing your best football, you're confident. You're confident. Yeah. He just makes everybody believe how confident they are. Like any game I ever went out and played. What there is no way in my head. You weren't even going to beat me. We were going to hammer you. If you were playing that, they were good Dublin teams.
Yeah.
You know, I could not see us losing. There was no way in my head if we did this.
You were a sub on that team. Like Darrell Whale was great at the start of the year, or Patrick McBurty. He still has that with everyone in the group. He never loses anyone in the group.
Not that we know of anyway. Like it's a connection. He builds that. Yeah. It's a bond. It's a bond. You spoke about the bond about your Armagh boys going down. Like they would do anything for him.
Yeah. It was the same thing Mikey Beavens and Liam Cahill were saying on the stage with Joanne Cantwell on Sunday night when they won the All Ireland. Mikey Beavens was, and he's not a man that talks very often, the tip coach hurling paddy. He was talking about the connection.
Cork.
The connection between the players and that bond of a group. And like, you obviously had it with your 12 team. You had it with your 6-in-a-row team. You had it with your Kerry team.
Yeah.
Like, did Jack do that? Is that something that Jack lent on? Or was Jack a very different manager to Jim? Because you had, like, Jack was your manager from when you broke through, right? You're knocking on the door to try and break in. He gives you your debut.
Yeah.
He's a very important manager for you growing up, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Brilliant manager. I think would be brave enough to try things. Obviously, trying me at full forward was a big risk at the time because I hadn't played there at all.
You were on Pop Idol the year before.
I was on, yeah.
And he brought you up. Yeah.
It was a Pop Idol, the Underdogs, I think. But yeah, no, Jack is not afraid to try something and go with something and, you know, throw his weight behind something. And, I think this year in particular, when it looked like, you know, certain coaches had left Kerry, Paddy Telly had obviously gone, Murph, and Michal had stepped away. You know, it could have been easy for Jack to step away, but Jack still believed in his players that there was an All-Ireland in them. Because if you look at the All-Ireland semi-final last year against Armagh, they had chances. They could have pushed themselves more into a lead. Obviously, we talked about Tyrone. The Dublin game in 23 was so tight. He knows he's knocking around. He knows he's got a good team. And he's able to put a belief into players that they can go and perform on the biggest days, and that is a big strength of Jack's. And I know that from being a young lad inside in the dressing room, to him kind of going, listen, we're going with you. This is the way we're playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you have to perform.
James, you've spoken before about, and we'll get back to it, like here, and we could talk about so many different parts of your career, but in 14, there's probably moments that year, and I know from reading through the book at different times, you thought you were done, you thought you were finished, and you keep playing until 2018, do you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe not that you thought you were finished, maybe you thought managers thought you were finished. Do you know, you're waiting for your breaks, and we know what happens next. James, you've spoken before, and I hope I'm not breaking trust here, but about the aura coming back when Kieran got going again in 14, and that aura in the dressing room was so big for the younger lads. But when you were a younger fella trying to break through, how did Jack, because you just explode into life in 06 and 07, how did Jack get you ready to go for that? Or did he just leave you at it?
It was very simple. We got beaten in Cork in the Munster final. And talking Kerry at the time was the ball wasn't sticking inside. I'd played full forward for the Stacks in 2005 and did quite well. And he just said, we're just going to go with you. We're going to try you inside. But he brought me up with Mark O'Shea to the edge of the square. And Jack had fancied himself as a good kicker. He wasn't the paciest player of all time.
He's a bit of a Joyce, is it?
Yeah, he was a bit of a Joyce, yeah. except with a right foot, but he could ping it on the outside of the right.
Who, Jack O'Connor? Tell me Jack O'Connor was putting outside the right centre.
Absolutely. That's how the whole thing started. Jack said, Donaghy, go in there now. And Mark Shea, you go in there and mark him. And Jack was outside fucking looking in and hitting floaters on the outside of the right.
That is brilliant. The definition of a wooden leg.
No, you're underestimating him big time.
Captain Hook.
He had a tasty outside of the right boot. And I think after that, he said, that'll do, you know, Donaghy going away. And
so that he was after putting a quad.
I think he talked to Mark on the way in, Mark Shea, and basically said, what do you think? And Mark's like, yeah, he's a bit of an awkward. we might be able to do something with him inside. So, the week later, it was full forward against Langford and then Armagh and then Mayo.
Yeah, rest is history.
And he had a great relationship and he won plenty of All-Irelands along the way. But he did have one little falling out, right? He's not afraid to make big decisions. You did get dropped, didn't you?
Nah.
What the hell? Yeah, I know he dropped me for a game in...
James is on the panel at that stage. Do you remember this? Do you remember?
I remember. They were the biggest scandal of all time.
James probably got my spot.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You got called up ahead of him. You did.
No, I was on the panel. I was actually starting on the A's the week before. And
what year is this?
The week before when you stopped, you were only brought in 2 days before the game stopped. I was stopped.
How fucking dare you? No. He was on the... Yeah, you know, you were dropped that time for the Tipperary game, wasn't it?
Tipperary, like...
That was good.
The hurling penalty, that's
a story. It was the game of the season.
The English playing.
There's a story. There is a story here, isn't there?
There is. There was a lot going on. It was disaster. not to start in the somber note, my old man passed away. I took his dog down from Tyrone after the funeral. I took his dog down to my house. And
he was like, that was very important. Like, I heard
Yeah. So that was in March. This is obviously about 3 months later. I come home from work. I'm heading for training in Killarney, and Hillary goes, the dog is gone. Like, the dog is gone from out the back. So I went out the back looking, searching. Next thing, there was a search party. All my aunties, my uncles, my mom, everybody was called in because we live close to the town park in Tralee. So they were all looking around the town park and big search party. But anyway, the story goes, and it's true, by the way, it's true. I came back because I was like, right, you keep looking. I've got to go to training. Came back to the house, went into the driveway. My mother had parked across the driveway in the panic to go looking for the dog. So I couldn't get out. So I had to fucking go looking for her and find her and get her back. And anyway, got out to training. I was a good 45 minutes late for training, I'd say. The warm-up had started, the skills had started, and I basically landed on for the bit of A versus B, and Jack threw me one of the B jerseys and was like, you're in there, and a bit sour. And that was the first round of the Munster Championship. Then a few weeks later, we were getting ready for the Munster semi-final against Tip. And the week before that, we trained on the Friday and we were off till the Monday. So I said, fucking great. Chelsea were after qualifying for the Champions League final in Germany, in Munich. And I had a good buddy from going over to games over the years. And I said, listen, there's no way you'll be able to get me a ticket for the Champions League final. He said, I will. You get over here, get yourself an hotel, and I have a ticket for you. I said, lovely jubbly. So I went to Jack. I went to Jack and I said, Jack, I'm going to the Champions League final there Saturday morning. I'll be back Sunday and we're training Monday. So we trained Friday, off Saturday, Sunday, back Monday. So it couldn't fall any better. So off I went and I went.
What did he say?
He said, no. 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 He said, you're not going to that game. We've months of semi-final next week. You're not going over there. I said, oh, fuck it, Jack. I said, I have tickets to fucking. I never, he says, I'm going. And no, you won't go. And there was a load of hullabaloo in there. But I went out to the airport on Saturday morning. And off I took from Munich. And I landed in Munich and I was like, I'm not drinking, no, I'm going to take it. Not drinking, I'm going to go to the game, get up the next morning and go away. And I was walking. I got landed, taxi to the hotel, and I was just walking like 20 yards to the hotel and looked down, Cullum the Gooch Cooper. I said, oh, Jesus. Hello, Gooch. He goes, where are you? I said, I'm in Germany. Oh, for fuck's sake. He said, he's going to drop you. I says, he'll be all right. I said, I'll be back tomorrow. We're not training. We're not missing anything. I said, and he goes, no, you're fucked. You're fucked. You're going to be dropped. So I wasn't in the end. I went to the, after that phone call, I goes, well, fuck it anyway. Went into it.
The damage is done.
If I'm going to be playing a bit part,
yeah,
I might as well play a bit part. So I went up to the bar. I said, sure, man, can I get a pint? He gave me a jug of his fucking beer. So I started on the jugs. Game was great. Flight home.
Chelsea win, right?
Chelsea win.
Hello, yeah.
Week later, Tipperary are fucking clawing a lead back.
Yeah, but did he start? You start?
No.
He might have started.
But was it in the paper?
No. Like,
was
it, if
did,
I started,
was
if it, I started, you wouldn't have come on, baby.
But no, there was stuff in the paper in the Daily Star.
It was leaked that Donaghy's dropped.
Because I went to the game. Yeah, it was leaked.
Yeah.
It was leaked, and I couldn't even say it was bullshit. But so it was leaked, and
that was the Gooch. Yeah, the Gooch leaked.
No, he wasn't. The Gooch wouldn't sell me out. No, yeah. But the crack Tipperary were playing obviously the following week, and Jack, in fairness to them, and again the quality of his management. No, you're not putting the team first. You're travelling. We're going to start someone else, and I was a sub.
Yeah,
and we were 7 or 8 points up and coasting along lovely, and I was going, Jesus Christ, he'll leave me in the bench here now for the day and I'll be under pressure for the Munster final against Cork. Next thing, Tip started making a run, bang, goal, fucking pint, 2 points.
Nicky English.
It was Nicky English got the goal. Nicky got the goal.
Yeah. He kicked one. I seen that. He kicked one in the fucking, he did.
The next thing anyway, Jack turns around, Danny, warm up. I says, lovely. Down the sideline anyway, a few stretches. Fucking. Jog back up, and it was tight. It was getting too fucking tight for our comfort now. And Jack is the hand around me, and he's going, no, you're going full forward now. Fuck, we need a few goals, catch a few balls. And there was some fella from, a wild man from Kerry, was in the first row of Semple Stadium, shouts on. Obviously, Drogba got the winning penalty the week before. Your man shouts out, go on, Drogba. And I had the hand around Jack, looking out at Semple Stadium in Tipperary, a pint down. I just looked at Jack. He looked at me. He started laughing. I started laughing. Straight on.
Brilliant. That was a good one.
That was a good one, yeah. Bit long-winded, but anyway,
sorry, lads. No, it was worth it. It was worth it.
Imagine him coaching a player like him.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Connor Turbitt, I'm going to Munich. Jesus Christ.
Mark, we're going to get to 14 in a couple of minutes. Before we get there, I want to talk about 12. And we will actually talk about this weekend's All-Ireland final. We'll just, we're going to take a wee break, and then we'll do that after the break. And we'll take a break in about 20 minutes. So, Mark, 12, the meeting you had against Kerry was a big one. Like, that was actually the first time you met in Championship football. I'm not sure, like, you obviously hadn't come across the Jim McGuinness team in Championship. Nobody really knew what to expect.
Yeah.
But you boys must have believed going in that day that you were going to get the job done on the journey to winning that All-Ireland.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that was the first time the people actually have done in goal started believing, like, it was really the first time we took out one of the big guns, if you'd say. You know, Tyrone was there, and we had to beat them in Ulster Championship along the way. But the Kerry game was the one. You know, they were the kingpins of football. Like, you know, they were the team everybody looked up to strive to be. And yeah, I think we decided that these two boys didn't need to be double marked that day. We double marked Gooch, and we said we needed to stop Declan O'Sullivan. He says, "Papa will look after Donaghy from the back, and him McGee from the front." And I think you were all right there.
It was your first game.
Yeah. First game, yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad marked him, I think, was it?
Oh, my dad blew him up with the water, and he hasn't played a game since.
What's this?
My dad, he came out of this most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear in your life, calling the Gooch Cup or a two-trick pony. Like, I don't know, you ever remember? It was the most stupidest thing you'll ever hear.
That's unlike him, like. Huh? It's unlike him
to say something stupid. It is. We'll give him that. But that was an error in judgment now. But he raves about James Donoghy.
He loves James Donoghy.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a slight on Colm. It was more his affection for James, really.
It was. He had good time for him. But he blew him up. I think he was on the Sunday game one night. And,
he called James a 6 or 7 trick pony.
Yeah.
That cost me about 15 years of pain.
It has, hasn't it?
In Killarney, every time I walk down the street, Gooch is better than you. The Gooch is better than you. I was like, I never fucking said I was better than a Gooch. I was boxing. It was torture, but no, it was grand.
But that was the game for us, I think. Yeah. Just give everybody the real belief around the county that this team can do something special, you know.
And he did, like, 12 was special. It was just the second time Donegal have won the All-Ireland. And we know how big it was for Armagh to get it done again. Like, we kind of take it for granted. And maybe sometimes in the football pod, we've got Kerry and they're 38 and Dublin and they're maybe 31 or is it 30? I can't remember.
48, I think.
You're a good bit behind, yes.
But for Donegal and Armagh, to get these opportunities is such a big thing. So you weren't letting 12 slip by.
Yeah, unless it was huge. But I was a cub. Hey, I was young. I kind of thought this was going to happen all the time. Like, you know, when I said, when you have a manager like Jim McGuinness and you just believe that you're going to win every game, you're like, this is going to happen all the time. And yeah. Like, nerves. I never did. I didn't get nervous before any games. Nearly when I was at it. I got the older I got, the more nervous. I was more nervous in the kind of county championship game in 2017 really? Than I was in a All-Ireland final in 2012. Like,
yeah.
Like. Paddy, me and Paddy used to, we shared the room together, Paddy McBurdy, Stephen's down there, actually Paddy's brother, but like I was up the night before, I was watching a movie, I think, on the laptop, at the laptop there, and Paddy looked over me, and he's just concrete this, like, and I was just chill, like.
But you were so young.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and Paddy was younger, like, and the two of us just.
What age were you in 2012?
I was 20, just turned 22.
And you mentioned man markers, you marked O'Donoghue. Once, didn't you? Didn't we have a photo here of Mark McHugh, man marking James O'Donoghue?
Never. We have one here. Sure, he was.
Fuck's sake.
What's that?
What God, fuck I was
head- What? Put that back up again. What was that? What was that?
That's the All-Stars,
is it? I'll tell you what, hey, that was outside. That was outside. There's a better one. That's a better one. That was outside the convention center.
You look
center.
Like fucking Daddy Osmond there. That's like a wig you've on or something like.
I went to Coppers afterwards, and I was chatting to. I thought I was chatting to James for about a half an hour. That's how drunk I was at the time, but it was actually his brother. So it was full blown conversation.
My brother Tommy does not have a notion about football. I cannot imagine what he was.
I don't know what I was saying to him, but I was fully convinced that it was James at the time. But I would have marked both of them probably. You know, sweeping in front of them and told what to do. But
that was a very effective role in 12. That role you played, like, that was key to what Donegal did. Yeah.
Well, I felt Dublin and Kerry probably made my career because they just kept kicking me the fucking ball. I don't know why. But, you know, the Ulster teams, to be fair, they were more conventional, like, you know, possession. The possession based in, you know, until 2014, really.
That changed everything.
That changed everything for
years.
And then yous went down.
We were at a big thing against going into that game against you guys in 14. Obviously, the 11 game was a famous game. And
yeah.
Dublin got over the line in that one. But it was like, we were on a bit of a high horse that we'd end that style of play, that we'd be like the team to say you can't play that way and win the biggest prizes, and we're just totally caught out, like. And ultimately, I think it's hilarious, like Jim is the FRC, have changed the game and brought it a bit more free flowing. We became more conservative, mind the ball,
the
phrase you hate, Jimmy. And I think this, I know we'll talk about Sunday's game, like, I think this is going to be a big part on Sunday. We were absolutely, after the 14 game, you can't give the ball away sloppily. And we played more conservatively, but that's what worked under the old rules. But that did change.
Yeah.
Totally our mentality. We went into the 14 game going, fuck this, we're just going to play Harlem Globetrotters here and no team will live with us. And we were just completely and utterly caught out, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just felt that... As I said, you've made my career, boys. Thanks very much for that.
Kieran, talk about Dublin and Kerry making Mark's career. You made this man's career. We have to say that in 2014, James.
Oh, like
the connection that you two boys developed over those couple of weeks. Anyone who watches back to... I recommend watching back to semi-finals, maybe not the final, but anyone watching back to semi-finals, it just clicked from the moment when Mayo have the run on you in that semi-final, you come in... You feel that high ball from David Moore and a beautiful pass from Moore from the wing. And James just reads it. Did you get on? Like, did you click straight away or did something happen over those couple of weeks in 14? Because I know, Kieran, you were sitting on the bench for the All-Ireland quarter-final. The Recaro seats, as you called them back then, the plush, soft,
they're still out
comfortable
there,
seats.
Yeah, still there.
And you were raging that you weren't on the field that day. And something happened over the next couple of weeks where your career gets a second burst.
Well... For what my role was, which was, you know, fucking bit of a target man and make the fellas around you look good, it was easy enough to make him look good because he had both legs, he was ballsy, he could sniff a goal out of anywhere.
There was two more tricks, wasn't there?
Look at the chest.
There's two David more chest. Tricks. Coming up
there. Hey, Jimmy.
Do you understand? Do you want to walk across tricks. The stage there?
I love the Kerry guess.
But no, it was easy play with him, you know, it was easy play with him. And I had no doubt once I got the nod for that replay that being inside in the full forward line with him that it would work because, you know, he just had that finishing ability. No, he wouldn't have the vision of Gooch.
Yeah.
He wouldn't see the passes at times.
Mayor, but you were never open.
I
you
was
were always
wide
marked.
Open.
I was like, I'll take the shot on myself. Yeah.
are you talking?
And he was a finisher, like he was. So like,
yeah, well, he kind of.
He's like Darwin Nunes.
But like, I won the ball outside
fuck you,
there.
Benny Darwin Nunes. No.
Outside there in the canal end, caught a ball, fucking 3 minutes to go, down 5 points, slipped it to James. James, Ivan Eadle, wang, goal, get a draw.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So go to the replay, I'm like, James.
But that was the tactic. The tactic was not for me to fucking hang one up for you, like, because that was never going in the net. Do you know what I mean?
Kieran, do you not listen to the podcast? Like, he does not like hand passing. You know, yeah, so he hits the fist over the bar. Any, I'm sure he hits the bar.
I know, but what about these wide open goals that you could just pam in?
Mm. Pull the trigger, baby.
Pull the trigger, baby. Yeah.
I know.
No, but Tommy.
The lads are trying to set me up for a photo here, and I don't know if we might have it in a minute, but it's we might have it in a minute. We'll have to keep going because.
No, but Tommy, honestly, like Kieran, as you said, made my career that year in 14 and everything. The relationship that we built up at the time was unbelievable. And the thing that that I see with teams at times is that
that's like me with Hugo.
With teams, right?
It's me hitting James' shoulder.
Come here, little Jimmy. He gave you nuggies after that, I think. Fuck's sake. Makes you sick.
But like at times with teams, I always say all they need is like an influx of something or positivity energy. Or a change in the energy. Group. If they've lost a championship match, it's not do or die, no, you have another chance. Like with Kieran, when he came in that time in after the quarterfinal. As soon as he came in, it was like, we're on here. We're on to something special. I don't know. And it was all down to Kieran. It was like...
Was there an added energy? Was there
an energy. Yeah, an energy. It's so hard to describe, but it's like if Kieran was to say, we're going to do this now, row in behind it, and you were part of it, you felt 10 meters tall. It's a special quality. And like... That's what I always say with the team, is like all they need is that little bit of a change of times just to make it right. But like Kieran had that, he had it on and off the field, I thought.
Aura.
I played golf with him in Tralee and I shot a 62. He was fucking unbelievable. Yeah. Genuinely, like in energy, like we would have played against each other a lot during that period. And just, we've been trying to get him on the show for the last 5 fucking years, lads, but he's like, too busy.
The fee kept
going. He's charging too much. But that energy in it, all the successful teams, and you look to Sunday as well, there is people that you might not, GA players are very serious and we're very dour and we're very boring at the time. But
you're not supposed to be when you're paid to talk.
Not anymore, no, but I'm saying about existing teams, the teams that play on Sunday, all the successful teams have characters who bring your own team in 2012, you guys in 14, energy to it. It's we're spending 95% of our time together in a group for 9-10 months of the year. You need all the serious guys, but you need guys who can bring that bit of energy and that personality on the pitch as well. And I know when Jess, you definitely brought it as well, but all the best teams have guys that.
I always say about Kieran. Kieran used to take control of nights out as well.
That's important too.
So
crucial.
Now, whether you want it or not, he'd take control of the night out. And this happened fucking numerous times, but we were over in South Africa and South African rand. But Kieran's going around. We're going out in the boys' night, so the women are going one place, the boys are going another place. So Kieran's around collecting. He said, lads, give me €250 worth, right, of rand, and I have the night sorted. We're going to this nightclub. Don't worry about it. Say no more. It's all done. So we were like, fucking hell. This is
How much is 250 rand?
It's about 10 million rand. It's basically...
No, how much is... How much? Fuck it.
It's 250 euros.
250 euros worth of rand for a night out?
Yes.
Jesus, I must have fair swell out that night.
So we went to this nightclub anyway, and so we're sitting there anyway, and we're all putting into tables. So Kieran's over there with maybe Darren Sullivan, Mark Shea, the Gooch, whatever. I'm there with my buddies, whatever. It's 5 or 6 tables. And we've paid the money,
So he's collected money off all the players?
He's collected money. He started this because he knows a fella who knows a fella who knows a fella who knows a fella. As Kieran does, right? So next thing, this fucking 4-foot balding old fella comes over and starts serving us these bottles of local wine. And it's not red, it's not white, it's kind of like a multicolored. There's a bit of soil at the bottom of it. It's not even corked. It's there's tin foil on top of it.
It's Buckfast.
And an old rubber band. And so we're like, do you know what, fine, look, €250 worth. We'll get there in the end. It'll be fine. So after a while, we're drinking away. And next thing, all we see is a tray of Grey Goose vodka, tequila, Dom Perignon, with fucking sparklers coming out of it, all the way over to Kieran's table. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And then all you see is Darren Sullivan in the dentist chair, Gaza style. Fucking vodka poured down the neck. There's a rope around their table to everyone keep out. There's dancers. Every drink is being carried out by some bird with just a fucking bikini on.
Jesus.
I was like, where's our fella?
So,
it's ridiculous.
Okay.
And then the following morning, the boys come down. We're all going for breakfast. And they were like, Jesus, the local wine was fucking very bad last night. I said, you didn't fucking see the local wine, you bollocks. Absolute Dom Perignon out the gate.
Does that explain why you never passed him the bloody ball?
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Hello.
Hey, there's a defender on the line.
There you go.
Hang on.
Wide open, stop. Don't even start.
Where did that end up?
See, what you don't realise is I was thinking ahead.
But not thanks to him, though.
I was thinking ahead. What happened here, Tom?
Higgins makes the most unbelievable
block. No. Cut to the finish. What happens?
Goal.
Donaghy puts in the back of the net.
Thank you very much. Onto the next clip, baby.
Eight dubbies. Can I have a small bit of a comeback there that he's going to riddle me about this fucking collection fund that I have no recollection of? James did his own bit of a collection fund, Tommy. Oh. Did you ever hear about this?
I haven't heard this off air or on air, so I'm kind of worried.
Yeah, this isn't even rehearsed now, but...
Oh, jeez.
I remember there was a time James all said... This is around the time where fellas were getting fucking snazzy, you know, as forwards, like blacked out boots. Do you remember the blacked out boots?
Yeah.
When they first came on the scene, though, you had to send them away to a special man in a special lab and you'd all get back your boots blacked out. So James goes, boys, I can get all your boots blacked out. €50. Fucking no problem, James. Everybody couldn't get out the money quick enough. Your man went away. There was boot laces hanging out the window of his car as he was going out. There was that many boots. And this is before the All-Ireland final against the boys in 15. I'll get all the boots blacked out, lads. We were all blacked out. No problems. Fucking boots go off in a... Next thing. Tuesday before the All-Ireland final. James, are the boots here? They're coming tomorrow, boys. James, we gave them to you 2 weeks ago. We're fucking kicking around here in shitty boots and training the last 2 weeks. We need to get these boots back. They're all our favourite boots for the final against the Dubs. You know, they'll be here. They'll be here tomorrow night, boys. They'll be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, land in. Waiting for the fucking array of lovely blacked out boots all over the dressing room. No sign. James, this is getting fucking serious now. The Dubs are coming in Croke Park on Sunday. We need the fucking boots.
Klucko was doing the same for us.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he was getting blacked out boots.
Landed on to the train on Saturday. James, boots. They're going to be delivered above to the hotel on Saturday night. Just in time for the kick around. No boots, Tam.
Oh, my God.
We had to take on the Dubs with second-rate boots.
No wonder we lost by three points.
No wonder we lost. So look, if you want to lay the blame on anybody, Tom, throw it over there.
Okay.
Throw it over.
They were just in time for the National League.
Yeah, the following fucking year.
Mark, 14, you took a decision to step away, so you end up watching all this play out. I think you were in New York for a wee bit.
And did a bit of sightseeing. Lovely. Statue of Liberty. Beautiful. Beautiful.
You ended up doing punditry during the All-Ireland final. I think you were working for RTÉ that day. Like, your brother Ryan is playing. I think Owen was too young, your cousin, to be involved at the time. Too young. So Ryan's playing at the time. Ryan was obviously unbelievable against Dublin that day. That must have been tough. I'm not just talking about the quality of the match, but actually watching on that day, that must have been tough.
It was hard, yeah. That was one that did probably hurt, you know. To be honest, as I said, when I stepped away, I just wasn't really enjoying much at the time. I said, right, go away and see the world. I said, see a bit of sightseeing and see a bit of bars over about New York, you know. And listen, I enjoyed it. There's no doubt about that. And I remember I was trying to get back for club championship, and the manager rang me up and I says, no, I have to wait another day. I had no shopping done, you know, so I had to, this is my excuse to come home. He says, you have to get home right now because we kind of, he expected maybe Dublin to beat Donegal in the semi-final.
He says,
we're going to be out in the championship the following week. I said, I can't come home, I have just no shopping done. So I said, just wait 4 or 5 days and I'll be back. So I came back for the game and then ultimately they won, so.
Yeah.
That was, I suppose, then it was kind of the kick in the teeth to Donegal. We're back in an All-Ireland final and I wasn't involved, where I probably could have and should have been involved. But still, the fact that a lot of my teammates and my brother was involved was...
Clubmates.
It was, again, I'm a Donegal fan, like, you know, and it's just when... you don't even know what... there's lots of people here from Donegal. Like, what's going on in the county right now is crazy. And it's the same in 14, same in 12. Like, it's just mental.
They really embrace it because it doesn't come around very often. Really,
no, and that's why it goes so crazy, because we're not used to the success. Like, you know, we've been in 4 All-Ireland finals in our history. You know, this is our 4th. Like, you know, Jimmy Guinness has been involved in every one of them. Like, you know, that's mad. Like,
there's been a McHugh involved in every one as well.
There has been, yeah. Which is not bad, actually, yeah. Just,
you're only a kid, obviously, when your dad won in 92, but, like, you're reared on stories of that team, and they're all legends to you as well, aren't they?
Yeah. And that was the big talk, I suppose. Everything for 20 years was up until 2012, and now, you know, it's kind of the 2012. But, no, 14 was tough. But I was dead sure they're going to win. I could not see them beat again, because I had that mindset of it's Jimmy Guinness' team. It just didn't go as we planned.
Do you know what the prices were the morning of the All-Ireland final in 2014?
Prices for what?
The match, the winners.
No.
What price were Donegal to win?
No idea.
Guess.
But they were probably 1-2, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
1-2.
After beating Dublin.
Kerry 7-4.
Mm. Wow. Did you have that up on the wall, Kieran, beside your Joe Brolly article and your...
Was that the Brolly year, was it?
It's actually him. He's the one. The whole Joe Brolly thing actually came from James.
What do you mean?
Well, the morning of the All-Ireland, he came up to me. He was like, fucking Brolly, they're writing in the paper. Did you see what he said about us? This was before. Like, he wrote the article about me in the midsummer.
Yes.
When I wasn't coming on and I was gone. That I was a...
Fallen star.
One-trick pony. But it was James, and he wrote another article there like a few weeks afterwards where he was like, we'd lost a few under-21 finals to Cork, and he was like, the production line drive to a halt in Kerry. And it was him the morning of the game, fucking production line drives to a halt. I tell you, we'll quieten him today. And I said, we'll quieten him today. But it was his whole thing. That's why there's pictures of us two afterwards laughing with each other.
We have a few of them. I think we have.
That was all based around. I was telling him, because he was in the madness of running around celebrating. I was like, I fucking gave it to Brolly. And he was breaking. I was giving him the pint down the camera and everything. But he doesn't get enough credit for that.
No, okay, we'll have to dig into that.
I do feel like that, especially, you know, Jimmy, you can hear the articles there during the week. They feel like that was one that got away from us.
That's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan has never watched it back.
No, I read that.
Jim said it haunted him every day up until he got back involved with Donegal. He thought about it every day.
Mm. I suppose there was just little moments, I suppose, the famous goal, you know, we were messing beforehand. Like, if the jerseys were the colours this weekend, he may not have got the ball at all, like, you know?
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it
he'd done a bit of studying, I think, of the kickouts, had he?
He did, no, it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, again, there was just wee moments, I suppose, even early on, the McFadden chance at the end, that could have could have went either way. And we just didn't probably play the way we wanted to play on that day, so... There's a few lads on that team will be out to rectify, no doubt about it. And
sure.
I think we've played Kerry three times in the championship, won one, lost one, draw one. So something's going to happen this weekend, like.
And that's the perfect place to leave part one of the show. We're here with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. They bring the pot on the road every year. Back in Croke Park again. We love it. Thanks so much for coming out. We're back in 20 minutes. Thank you.
Enjoy. Well,
I'm
boys.
Piss myself twice.
Yeah.
Take that with you.
Fuck.
Huh?
Well.
Take the cup.
Aye, bring it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bring it back to the room.
We have a bit of crack. Good, oh, dear, it's reckless. Good. The tile is down that way.
Wow.
How many have you got?
Are you fucking 7 to 2 of you?